15 years ago today, the world changed when terrorists attacked America on September 11th, 2001. Two planes hit the World Trade Center in New York City. One was flown into the Pentagon in Washington, and another crashed in rural Pennsylvania when passengers tackled the hijackers. Since then, much of the global focus has been on the so-called War on Terror, and the way we live and travel has changed due to increased security and surveillance. I'm Liz Jackson, and this is a podcast called Correspondence Report, where you get a first-hand account of what it's like to cover the world's biggest stories. Today, Zoe Daniel reports from Washington 15 years on from 9/11.
Who could forget that crystal-clear morning in late summer 2001 when everything changed?
I'm on the roof of my building, which is about five blocks to the south of the World Trade Center. I'm looking right now at the World Trade Center. There's a massive gaping hole on the second tower. It's about 15 stories from the roof. It's just unbelievable to look at. There's a massive hole.
It looks like something out of a movie. There is a huge hole in the side of Tower Number 1. Owen, your apartment is just a few blocks from it. Did you hear anything?
I was lying in bed. All of a sudden, I heard what sounded like a plane or something coming extremely low, and then we just heard this shattering explosion. I ran up to the roof and confronted by this.
Breakfast news hosts switched from weather reports and lighthearted banter to an unfolding attack never before seen on American soil on just your average weekday morning.
Jennifer? Did you just see this happen, Jennifer?
Matt, I've never seen anything. It looks like a movie. I saw a large plane, like a jet, go immediately headed directly into the World Trade Center. It just flew into it, into the other tower, coming from south to north. I watched the plane fly into the World Trade Center. It was a jet. It was a very large plane. It was going fast. It went past the Ritz-Carlton Hotel that's being built in Battery Park. It flew right past it, almost hit it, and then went in.
Two planes were crashed into the World Trade Center, one into the Pentagon, and another went down in a Pennsylvania field. Leaving close to 3,000 dead, the attacks left a nation grieving and angry and a world frightened. That fear and anger prompted an ongoing war on terror and a foreign policy position skewed towards military action in the Middle East to prevent attacks at home.
I've ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. And now, if you join me in a moment of silence.
Where were you that day? I was on my very first overseas assignment for ABC News in Auckland, covering the final death throes of ANZUS. It subsequently collapsed under the weight of its own financial problems and a global aviation downturn caused by the sudden fear of air travel. Like everyone, I remember watching that horrifying moment in the early days of live television rolling news when the second plane hit the second tower. 15 years and so many countries and assignments later, on my third posting as a foreign correspondent, having been an eyewitness to much conflict and strife, I find myself in the United States. And with two children now in tow, these comments from House Speaker Paul Ryan resonate.
Standing here, recalling that day, here today, I can't help think of my own children and all the children born in this country after 9/11. Do they fully understand what happened that day? Will they ever? Can they? They can watch the old footage. They can see the clips of the towers falling. They can hear the great roar as a landmark comes crashing down, and with it, an era. Can they actually feel it? I've had so many conversations with my own kids about this, about the shock, the terror, the outrage. Can they feel the sense of loss and bereavement at losing 3,000 Americans in a single morning? I don't think they can.
Much did change after that day. The Bin Laden manhunt began, conflict unfolded in Afghanistan and eventually Iraq, and in a practical sense, security tightened in public places the world over, while covert surveillance ramped up. Borders were tightened, and Islamophobia, although already there, was inflamed. Jed Johnson is now the United States Secretary for Homeland Security.
I am a New Yorker, present in Manhattan 15 years ago on that day, which happens to be my birthday, and was an eyewitness to the events of that day. Of course, out of that day, 15 years ago, the Department of Homeland Security was born, and my own personal resolve to our Homeland Security mission was born.
Much of his focus to this day remains on aviation.
Worldwide, there is still a threat environment that we have to pay attention to around aviation security. Working with the airlines and airports, we're transforming our aviation security system and investing in new technology. So this is hardly mission accomplished.
In 2016, fighting terrorism remains one of the most important priorities for Americans, particularly due to the rise of Islamic State. But on the 15th anniversary of 9/11, America's leaders are preaching a positive message.
9/11 does not belong to fear. It belongs to courage. It belongs to compassion. It belongs to the first responders and those who rushed into the smoke and up the stairs, to the passengers who charged up the aisle, to the men and women who stayed behind in the stricken buildings to help strangers to safety.
In Washington, this is Zoe Daniel for Correspondence Report.